seems as if in our culture today, when you think of relationships that show love, one particular relationship stands forward above any other. In our culture, when you think of love, and you think of all the different types of relationships, it seems like there's one relationship in particular that highlights the nature of love. The mother and the child. Love really should be pictured by every relationship we're in its proper way. But how many times don't you hear the phrase, a mother's love? How many times isn't the picture of love the idea of the mother supplying every need of her child and being unconditionally committed to her child? That's the way our culture thinks about it. And incidentally, boys and girls, if you have a mother who loves you like that, a mother who spends time with you, a mother who is committed to you, a mother who sacrifices for you, a mother who loves you, you know, maybe even more than she would love herself, be very thankful, tremendously thankful. There are plenty of boys and girls in this world, maybe even people in our own church, who didn't grow up with such a mother. Because as great as our culture makes of that picture of love, the love of a mother, mothers are sinners. They fall short. But even the greatest of mothers, who know so much grace, even their love is nothing compared to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. And in some ways it's a tragedy that when we, so often in our culture, when we think of a relationship of love, and we think of the great love between a mother and a child, we forget that the greatest expression of love is shown to us by our Lord and God in the death of His Son upon the cross. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ should encourage our hearts this morning. With the Spirit's blessing, draw us to Him. And not only be a love that changes the minds and hearts of sinners, but it should be a love that we seek to show to those around us, especially in our very own families. We hope to consider together the third crossword this morning, which is often called the word of relationship. We've seen the word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have seen the word of salvation. Today thou wilt be with me in paradise. And this morning, what has been called the word of relationship. From John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. These are great words of love, words that show us the love of Christ, and words that give us, accompanied with his great actions in fulfilling those words, a model for our love. Well, firstly, as we consider this crossword, we see Christ's love, and we'll consider that love two different aspects as presented to us here in this text. He loves, firstly, as the eternal Son of God. He loves as the eternal Son of God with a redeeming and saving love. Find this type of love exemplified for us in Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 17, but particularly, as our Lord puts it this way, can a woman forget her sucking child? Can a mother forget the baby feeding at her breast? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Is it possible for a nursing mother to forget her child? Yea, they may forget. It is possible, but not likely. They may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The Lord Jesus Christ is showing on the cross a love greater than a mother's for her child. He is showing a love of a God for his people to redeem them and always remember them. He is not simply showing them the love of a wish or the love of a desire or the love of a feeling. He is showing them a wholehearted, committed love that accomplishes, remembers, and cares for them. Romans chapter 8, verses 34 and 35 are another example of this redeeming love Christ is setting on display for us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then in light of Christ's death, in light of his resurrection and his intercession, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Absolutely not. We see quite strikingly from our own text this love of Christ and redemption in one word. It's a word, perhaps, as you read the text that seemed out of place. This word is woman. Woman. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 19, calls his own mother woman. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith to his mother, and now what would you say? How do you address your mother? Do you call her ma, mom, mum, mother? He calls her woman. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. He calls her woman. He did the same thing in John chapter 2, when he turned the water into wine at the wedding. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, not mom or mum or mother, woman, woman, what have I to do with thee? And then he says another striking phrase, mine hour is not yet come. He calls her woman, not mother, not to scold her, not to distance her. He calls her woman, not mother, because she is coming to him as his disciples are with him with a problem not just for her son to fix, but it's a problem for the Christ of God to take care of. She draws attention to him, and his response to her is woman, not mother. And he says, and draws her attention, not to the fact that he is a busy son with many responsibilities and he has to take care of them right now. It's not as if he doesn't have time for his mother, as we'll see further, quite the reverse. But he is dealing with his work as the Christ. Mine hour is not yet come. It's not time yet for me to die. It's not time yet for me to become this public figure and become the object of the hatred and the scorn of the people. It's not yet time for me to be taken and beaten and tortured and crucified for the sake of sinners. It's not time yet. That time will come. He says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And here's what her mother, or rather his mother, says. His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." She knows her son. She knows her son as the Christ. And even though he says it's not his time, she still trusts him to do the work. And here in our text, our Lord Jesus Christ addresses his mother as woman. Because again, as Christ, he has work to do. And that marvelous work that he will do is to fulfill the law. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ is here doing. He is fulfilling the law. We'll see a bit further how he's fulfilling the fifth commandment. But here, as he hangs on the cross, as he looks to his mother, as we'll see a bit further, he will fulfill that fifth commandment and do a marvelous work of remembrance for her, not forgetting her, remembering her. He is fulfilling the law of God. The aspect of the law of God he is fulfilling is the justice due to our sin. That's why he is hanging on that cross. That's why he is suffering. As the eternal Son of God, he is displaying the love of his own heart and the love of the Father and the love of the Spirit for a sinful, lost people. He's fulfilling that law, bearing the curse of that law. That's why we find so strikingly in John chapter 19, as he looks to his mother and looks to his disciple, this is John, whom he loved. Verse 28, though there is more things that are said and done, as we'll see in the succeeding crosswords, in John's account of the crucifixion, verse 28 rolls over quite strikingly. After it tells us what happened, verse 27, and from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. John heeded the words of Christ, and Mary heeded the words of Christ, not only her son, but her Redeemer, and entered into his house. But verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Everything else is done. Mom is taken care of. We'll see that further. But everything else is done. Just "I thirst." And then, after the vinegar is given to him, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. As he is laying, or rather hung there on the cross, he is suffering the wrath of God, fulfilling the law, the punishment and demands of the law for sinners like you and me. That is love, is it not? That is striking and powerful love, is it not? To have someone found guilty, deserving of nothing but punishment, and to have one who is innocent, and only for the sake of love say, "No, I will take your punishment. Let me have it." Though they deserve to be punished. And what's more, it's not only someone innocent. It's the very person that has been offended against. It is not just God the Father we sin against, congregation. It is the Son and the Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills and takes the curse of the law, the passive obedience of Christ, his sufferings, that the law demands to be our substitute, it is not simply one who is innocent that is suffering. It is the one who is offended. It is the one who is offended. And thus we see the tremendous love of God, the tremendous love of our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to suffer and die to do what is necessary to redeem and to care for his mother. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home, and maybe you had a godly mother. Or maybe you didn't have a godly mother, but you had a committed mother. And you can look back and you know your mother sacrificed for you. You know she loved you. Maybe at times you're even moved. Maybe you even feel guilty. You know you don't love your mother the way you should. Maybe at times you strive to be a mother to your children as good as your mother was to you. It is a good thing to esteem your mother so, to show her the honor and respect she is due. But the love of Christ is so much grander, bigger, and larger than the love of your own mother. Make sure you understand Him aright. He is not a God. He is not a Savior that is aloof or distant. He is not a God and He is not a Savior that is not wholeheartedly committed to sinners. He is a God and He is a Savior whose love is greater and bigger and deeper than that of any mothers for their child. It is the love of a Savior for sinners who has given everything and more for their salvation. He here is doing the work as the eternal Son of God come in the flesh to redeem His people. But in order for Him to do that, in order for Him to be the Christ, in order for Him to look at His mother and say, woman, and stand before her, not just as a son, but as a Savior, He must love as one under the law. He must love as one under the law. Thus we move from the broad context of why Jesus is on the cross to the exact reasons why He is saying these words. He is speaking these words of love to His mother as not only eternal God the Son come to redeem, but as eternal Son of God in the flesh. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 puts it this way, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, not just to bear the curse of the law we have seen, but to keep the law." And that is preeminently what is in the mind and heart of the Lord Jesus as He says those words, "Mother, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother." He is thinking of the great commandment in Exodus chapter 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That is why everything else is done at this point in the flow of what John wants to emphasize. He says these words to his mother as the eldest son of his family who is about to die. He is thinking about what his responsibilities are, not only as the Christ to redeem mankind lost, but he is thinking of these words as the Christ under the law, as the Son of Mary. That is why he says not only woman, but the text emphasizes to us, he saith unto his mother. He says unto his mother, woman. He says to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, behold thy mother. Not behold my woman or this woman. He is doing what is required to honor his father and mother. In light of the Old Testament and the requirement of being the eldest son, it is his responsibility to make sure to care for his mother. The scripture does not tell us when his father Joseph died, but he is not there. He is gone. And when he dies, he will take care and secure for his mother. That is what he does. Imagine what this tells us and what insight it gives into the mind and heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is dying on the cross in immense pain, suffering the wrath of God. And his thoughts are not about himself. He is not filled with self-pity. He is filled with compassion and love firstly towards his father, as he realizes what he must do as the last Adam come under the law. If he came and he suffered to bear the curse of that law, to show forth the love of God in the midst of his tremendous sufferings, that passive obedience would not be acceptable if it were not accompanied with that active obedience or true law-keeping. He could have come in the flesh and not needed to keep the fifth commandment. But he did. He came as one under the law. And he has filled, in the midst of his sufferings, though he feels the anger and wrath of his Father, for our sins, the sins of sinners like us, he, out of love to his Father, obeys the law of love, keeps the commandment to honor his mother. To honor his mother? What a tremendous, selfless Savior, filled with so much love that in the midst of his own pain, in the midst of his own suffering, he looks on his mother and takes to himself this requirement of the fifth commandment as the eldest son to make sure she is taken care of. It says, "Woman, behold thy son," as if to say, "John will be me to you as your eldest son. John will provide for you. John will take care of you." Then he saith to his disciple, "Behold thy mother." John, take care of her. Love her, provide for her. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. We don't know how long she lived. When John writes his letters and he is in exile in the Isle of Patmos, she must have indeed passed by then. But what a glorious thing to see the Lord Jesus, the eldest son of Mary, one under the law, keeping the law, so he can bear the curse of the law for sinners like us. And thus, he suffers the penalty of our lack of love. The curse of the law was because we don't love. Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40, our Lord Jesus shows he understands the law, and so ought we as a matter of love. Jesus saith unto him, "Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It's a beautiful thing. As he keeps the law, he keeps the law so he may suffer the penalty of the law. There is no comparison in any set of relationships to this type of love. And this is our model for love. As our Lord Jesus Christ has loved, so he would want us to love. Not to bear the wrath of God against sin, he has done that. But to do what is required of us, as it were, as a thankful response. The Lord Jesus calls those who come to him to repentance and faith to love as he has loved, as he has given all for his, as he has taken up his cross, so those who are his need to give all and take up their crosses. As he put himself under the law for our salvation, so we are to embrace the law to show love for our salvation. Our love. Just as his love was shown according to the law, so our love must be shown and expressed according to the law. Christ's love is a model for our own. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love this God of love? Before I continue, if you don't, let me ask you, why not? Why not? Your heart might melt on Mother's Day or Valentine's Day or when you give your mom a hug or when you remember, even though perhaps she's passed and gone, how much she's done for you. Maybe your mother was a beautiful woman, full of moral excellence and purity. But she is nothing. No disrespect to your mother compared to his acts of love. He has done so much more than any mother, any parent has ever done for anyone. If your mother's love is worthy of your love and response, is not his love worthy of your love? As you would be drawn to her for her moral beauty and excellence and her willingness to sacrifice, what about his? Your own sin is not a problem. He's taken care of that. The cross proves it. Your own shortcomings are not a problem. His keeping the law from the cross proves it. Come to his love. And what must it say? What must it say? If we will not be moved and drawn to him in this glorious act of love and suffering hell upon the cross to pay the price due to our law breaking, and as he exemplifies our law keeping amidst the greatest of his sufferings, be drawn by his love. Come to his love. As I continue, if by the grace of God you have come to that love, and your heart responds in love to his great display of love on the cross and his great display of love to his father and his mother in these words, keep the law. Keep the law. We show love to each other by speaking words of love. Tell your wife or your husband how much you love them. Tell your children how much you love them. You write them letters. You leave them notes. You give them gifts. All those things. But so much more, isn't it, on a much more simple level? You do what they ask. You know what they need and you take care. Your wife says, you know, I've been really busy today. Could you do the dishes? And if you come home and rather than do the dishes, you bring her flowers, what does it do? That's nice you brought her flowers, but she asked you to help with the dishes. You do what they need. You do what they ask. Speaking the words and giving the gifts are all an essential part of demonstrating love. But it rests on helping them in the way they need and doing what they ask. That's why our Lord Jesus so strikingly says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why the Lord Jesus also says, there are people who cast out devils in his name and people who perform miracles, people who do all kinds of marvelous, outward, showy things for God and for Christ. But he'll say at the end, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they didn't love him and they didn't keep his commandments, though they did all kinds of showy things for him. So not only in our own earthly relationship, so much more with God. If your love can't deny his love, show your love in the keeping of the law. It will require you to deny yourself. It will require you to battle against your own indwelling sin. It will require you to take up your cross more and more and more daily. But by the grace of God, do so. Not to be worthy, because you never will be worthy, except for the sake of his love. Not to please him with your good works, because you will never be able to please him with your good works. And Christ has pleased God with his good works. But rather, take up those beautiful 10 commandments we have read this morning. And keep them out of thankfulness to show your love. Our love to be expressed and shown according to the law. And further, our love to be shown to God not only according to the law, but for the Lord. absolutely necessary component to our obedience to the law is that it be for God, for the Lord. If it is to be true law keeping, it is to have as its focus and its goal God. But it can be a tremendous temptation, can it? To have our law keeping be for other people. The words we speak, the way we dress, how we act. So easy to do it for other people, to put on the show. And we can do it with all well, good intentions. We know it's expected. It'll just be easier if we do it. But the focus isn't on God, it's on us or on others. That focus is wrong and falls far short of what our expressions of love are called to be for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, speaking of God's great works, of everything He's done. And so that should be mirrored by our own good works, our own seeking to keep the law out of love for Him. In Romans 11, 36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Congregation, here on the cross, the eternal Son of God in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, is keeping the fifth commandment to honor His mother. So He can not only keep the law in our place, but He can suffer hell in our place. And in so doing, we see His great love double-foldly expressed. His love to God and His neighbor and His mother as He keeps that law. And His love for sinners as He suffers and dies innocent, taking upon Himself the consequences of our law breaking. Here our Lord Jesus Christ shows us love. The love of God. The love of a Savior. He gives us a tremendous and striking model for our own love. A love so much greater than any other expression. Even so much greater than the amazingly great love of a mother to a child. Congregation, come to this God of love, who by everything He says and works, shows forth that glorious love. Even as He dies on the cross, caring for His own mother. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Father, for Jesus' sake, Lord, send Thy Holy Spirit into our hearts. Send Thy Holy Spirit into our hearts. To work that faith and repentance, to work that true and saving love. Lord, let us be moved by the love of Christ for sinners and draw us to Thee wholeheartedly for His service, that we would show that love that Thou dost give us for Thy Son and the works of the law. And remember, Lord, in a special way, those who may doubt Thy love. Lord, show them Thy love. Speak to their hearts. And let the work of our Lord Jesus' love towards His mother be an encouragement to them. Heavenly Father, we pray these things and ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.